You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 28, 2021, as you heard on the news just a moment ago, it appears they're ready to take a vote tonight, at least a test vote, on a bipartisan infrastructure package. That's what Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is indicating and telling President Biden, and that's why he made those remarks. This is apparently resolving all the major outstanding issues on this $1.2 trillion bill. Bipartisan package apparently including about $600 billion in new spending on traditional infrastructure projects. But, of course, while many of us are for that, you also have, in addition to transit, highways, bridges, water, broadband, and so forth, then it's an issue of how you're going to pay for it, and then all the other grab things that they're trying to put in. In other words, are we looking at that the Republicans are going to be voting on, quote, an infrastructure bill that really still doesn't exist? Is this not akin to what we were told about Obamacare when Pelosi said, well, we'll know what's in it when we pass it? Let's keep a close watch on it. There's a new survey out by Rasmussen. It shows that Joe Biden's approval rating dropping to the lowest level of his presidency thus far, 46%. Disapproval rating, 52%, putting him, as they say, 6 points underwater. I'm not really surprised by that, are you? But let me reinforce to you, despite how many times Uncle Joe stumbles, and on that town hall meeting the other day in Ohio, one question, and it took him 30 seconds to go, I think he did everything but describe his favorite ice cream. He could not put his words in a sentence together. And finally, the CNN host, Don Lemon Fruitcake, said, you mean the FDA? Yes, that's what I meant. There, that was the answer. But they don't dare. They don't dare. The Democrats do not dare exercise the 25th Amendment to yank him out of there right now, even though, no doubt in my mind, Harris signed it, because you have to have the vice president's signature to remove the president if they're not willing and ready to go, that she signed it the day she took her oath of office. She probably signed it as well. But they don't dare, do not dare remove him before the midterm elections. They're already worried they're going to lose. And if they take him out and put her up as president before the midterm elections, you hold that. Well, they're playing the long game at this point. Of course, we had the Capitol 6 riot. Hearing began yesterday, and I spent a lot of time on the last hour. If you missed it, make sure you pull up that podcast. And I want you to listen to me carefully when you hear it. You're going to hear some officers that were there and describing their stories and tearful and sounds threatening. But I'm also worried about how they're being used and how many of them already had grudges against the Trump administration to begin with. The National Police Association calls that event yesterday as nothing more than a dog and pony show. That, according to the National Police Association. And meanwhile, in Chicago, the police superintendent says, I know the problem with our rising crime and violence. The Chicago police superintendent says the issue is our legal system. Our judges and courts are releasing murderers back into our community. Out of control murder and violence rate in Windy City because we don't hold offenders in jail as we should. He speaks the truth. Who's going to do anything about it? Anybody? Bueller? Oh, while we're in Illinois, Governor Pritzker signing a new law. It used to be against the law if you purposely intended to transmit HIV to someone. He signed a law saying that no longer would that be a criminal act. In other words, you've got HIV and you're carelessly going around having sex with whomever and whoever, and they don't know that you're carrying HIV. Used to be a criminal act. Now, no, well, we're not going to bother about that. You won't be penalized. NBC's primetime coverage of the Tokyo Olympics continues to go down and down and down. You ever watch a toilet swirl around and around? And go, that's what they're watching. 14.7 million viewers, a 49% drop compared to the equivalent night in 2016. And then, of course, we have the story about American gymnast superstar Simone Biles announcing she's abandoning, walking away from the Olympics, saying partly it's a mental issue. I want to get into that in a lot more detail before we wrap up this hour, because it's raising a lot of questions, What are her motives? Are they real? Is she being used? Is it a stunt? What is going on here? And, of course, since I once participated in the Olympics, I can tell you... Forget it. I'm not going to talk about my time in the Olympics. You probably don't remember. I don't know.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a freighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We have absolutely nothing in place regarding illegal immigrants coming from the most severe hot spots in the world with no health care. It doesn't make any sense. And what I'm trying to do is ask the Biden administration to have an accounting for how they deal with the million coming across, how many are tested, how many are released in the United States. And they're basically telling me to go to hell.
Telling Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, as he asked the Department of Homeland Security and the Biden White House, how many of these illegals coming into our country have COVID? Are you even testing? And if they are found to have COVID, what are you doing about it? How many of you spread across the nation are allowed to come in? They do have no idea. Maybe that's why they're telling him, go to hell, because we don't know. Just don't bother us that question. So what we need, America, is we need all of you, all of you. You got vaccinated. You were told, if I get the vaccine, I don't have to wear the mask. And now they're saying, oh, not so fast. And Dr. Fake had transmitted that thought the other day. He's saying, I would expect pretty soon the CDC will say, yes, we need to mask up again. Well, voila. It's like magic. Suddenly, yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control reversed course and said it now recommends indoor masks for the vaccinated in all areas of the country where COVID infections are surging. And the CDC director, Walensky, cited unpublished data from recent days suggesting that vaccinated people may be able to spread the Delta variant just as easily as unvaccinated. So why? Somebody asked me, in fact, is Frank Vambrea I use as a host from time to time when I'm absent. He said, is anybody looking at the numbers of flu and how often flu numbers come around and how often it's there and the death rate from flu and illness? Yeah, they have to some extent, but it's still very confusing. You want me to add to the confusion? I can do that for you. I got my morning letter today from the New York Times. Yes, I have told you before, I sign up for it. I submit myself to this every morning. It's sent to me. A slap in the face. Good morning, Larry. And David Lenhart, his piece begins today saying the CDC recommends indoor masking for the vaccinated, but only in some places. And then he adds the CDC has both a polarization problem and a communication problem. Goes on to say the polarization is parts of the country that would benefit most from a new crackdown on COVID, including more frequent mask wearing, are also the places least likely to follow CDC guidelines. And they have a map showing that, yes, most of the compliant areas of the liberal Northeast, they're not as likely to have it occur, they think, they say, in the Northeast and upper Midwest. Moderate, low transmissions. And they said, then who is most likely to listen to the CDC new request that you wear a mask indoors? He said, mostly those who live in places where it's going to do the least good anyway. This is the New York Times reporter. I'm kind of glad he's absolutely writing something honest. He said the announcement of the guidelines was both vague and technical, making it hard for experts. I'm sorry. He said for many non-experts to understand. He said the agency did not make clear what parts of the country were affected, how it might change in coming days. And he had the White House added to the confusion late yesterday, sending an email to staff members saying they're going to again need to wear a mask. And he said, I asked government officials, should Americans assume the new mask guidelines will soon apply to almost the entire country? And he said, they did not give me a solid answer. And he adds, clear messaging is one of the most powerful tools public health officials have, but only when they use it. And the CDC and Biden administration, this is again a writer, columnist for the New York Times, he says they're not using it. He quotes Jennifer Nunzo, a Johns Hopkins University epidemiologist, who said, reference Americans frustrated by the long pandemic and want to know when we can take the mask off. She says, if we want to continue to ask people to step up, we need to give them a vision of what we're working for. That is why many people did go ahead and get vaccinated. All right, if we go and do that, then we don't have to wear the mask. I'll help out. And, of course, then the question is, you walk in a store, and if they have a sign up, only wear a mask if you haven't been vaccinated, then you're looking around, well, that person not wearing a mask, are they vaccinated? Do you want to go ask them? I dare you to ask me. And, of course, now some stores are putting up signs again, oh, you have to have a mask on if you walk in. I went in one yesterday, had to go in. I thought, thank God I had one in my hip pocket. Almost threw all of them away, thinking we're done with it. And, of course, we also have the issue that they're going to try to force it on every state, every city, every county by some kind of CDC mandate. But at the same time, as you just heard David Lenhart of New York Times saying, the messaging is very unclear. Well, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, says for him it's very clear what's involved with the Biden administration and what their plans are and how damaging it is.
You got a kid in kindergarten. They just said today they want the kid muzzled with a mask, even though the COVID's not any risk to the kid. If you have a loved one overseas, they may not let them come and fly, just normal travel because of COVID, they'll claim. But yet, if you want to just come straight across that border and have thousands of people pouring in, they don't give a damn about COVID at that point. They're letting them right in.
That's absolutely true. The very point Senator Graham was raising, and I've raised on this program repeatedly. Everyone in this country has to follow the laws, but if you're an illegal coming in, you can break one of our most fundamental laws, illegally entering our country. And you're going to be accepted. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to clarify that. For those of you who are trying to listen to me on Radio Larry Connors USA via your Havana, Cuba hookup, the Biden administration is telling you, do not come. Do not try to come that 90 miles across the water to Florida because they're going to send you back. And yes, I know that's why some Cubans are now, let's get to Mexico and then we'll go across the border. And they're doing it. And what Governor DeSantis was talking about, they want to mask and muzzle these kids again. Again, David Linhart of Linhart or whatever it is from the New York Times said, here's some other articles you need to check out. And he pointed out new data. Make sure you're listening here. Are you listening? New data shows that students lost months of learning during the pandemic. Larry, that's no surprise. Well, I wouldn't think so either. But here comes the other shoe, which again, you might say is no surprise, but it proves how damaging this issue is. Students lost months of learning during the pandemic with the largest losses among Black, Latino, and Native students. That's based on all the data they're gathering at this point. The kids that need the education the very, very most because it's important they need hands-on help, they're not getting it, and so therefore they're the ones suffering the most. We are going to pay for this down the road, and I want to remind you again, Johns Hopkins research had found a study of 48,000 children, a group of 48,000 children, zero COVID deaths. And they sent that information to the Centers for Disease Control, but the CDC doesn't care. It does not fit the political narrative. Zero deaths out of a study of 48,000 children. And when they look at all the deaths under the age of 18, the CDC does give a number. The CDC claims out of the entire nation, age 18 and under, there have been deaths. 335. If it's your child, obviously that's crucial and critical. It's not to be dismissed or mocked or anything else. And I feel for you. I do. I have related to you and shared with you I had lost a very close relative, an in-law, to COVID that just seemed to be in perfect health. So you need to do what you need to do for your family. But again, this stuff they're doing, what it's hurting and how it's hurting the kids and their learning and their ability. I want you to hear from a teacher in a moment, but before we do that, they're going to basically try to hunt people down if you haven't been vaccinated. Now, that's not exactly what he says, but here's, again, New York Governor Cuomo, a remark he made yesterday. Listen to this.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Yeah. And as I related yesterday, does that not sound like rounding everybody up, saying we're going to give you a nice shower, board the freight train, and when you come out, you go in that shower, and there's gas coming from the steam head above instead of water? Obviously, they're not going to do that. But if the left can always just bring up visions of Hitler and the Holocaust and link it to anything they can, reference any conservative or Trump, we'll play that game as well. And I don't like playing it, but you started it. Yeah, that's right. I am one of those. You started it. And then you got Don Lemon Fruitcake at CNN and saying, oh, yeah, if you're not going to get vaccinated, if you're not going to follow these new rules, you're not going to go, we're just going to ban you from life.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine. You can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine. You don't show it. Can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine. Can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine. Can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now, because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change. They're, you know, the circular logic. They just keep going back and saying, well, it's my freedom. It's whatever. I'm free. Well, your kid's not free to give other kids meningitis in schools. You got to take a vaccine to do that. You got to take vaccines in order to be employed. So what is the big deal? And all these people were saying, I don't want to put this stuff in my body. They're out drinking on the weekend and putting other substances in their bodies. That's way worse for them than a vaccine. So come on, let's be real.
Yeah, come on, let's be. Well, Don Lemon Fruitcake doesn't know that, yes, you are free to let your kids carry HIV and have sex with others in Illinois, and it's okay, according to the governor, new law he signed off. No penalty for that anymore. Yesterday, Fox News' Peter Ducey was asking White House Jen Psaki, the public health leaders in our administration, he's simply asking, if vaccines work, then why do people who have the vaccine now need to wear the mask? And her answer, public health leaders in our administration made the determination based on data. That's what they decided. In other words, but they said it, you do it. Which brings us back to how we're hurting children in their learning process. A high school teacher appearing on a Fox interview yesterday talking about how this is damaging kids.
The truth of the matter is, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you if we need to be doing this from a scientific perspective. But I can tell you that teaching in a mask is awful. It's ridiculously hard, especially if you're trying to, you know, use the humanity of the classroom, use humor, use your facial expressions, reach the kids. And these kids need to get back to a normal situation. And the last 16 months has not been good for them.
Not been good for them. Daniel Greenfield writes for Front Page Mag, and he wrote, Democrats and their media spent the past week warning that the country would have to go back to pandemic lockdowns, and it's all the fault of Republicans who are refusing to get vaccinated, and the Biden White House blaming conservative outlets on Facebook for spreading misinformation, demanding more censorship on Twitter. And yet at the SEIU union activist, a fixture at every Democrat rally and leftist event, they're protesting outside a New York Presbyterian hospital that's ordering employees to be vaccinated. And they're saying, we don't want you to order them to be vaccinated. That they're best equipped to make their decision for their bodies. Oh, my God. You cannot find a beginning or end of this ball of twine. But I have something coming up you do not want to miss on censorship.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So about 17 minutes ago, I got an email from a person identified. I'm only give the first name since it's an email. If they posted it on Facebook, then you'd see who it was because you can go to Facebook and make comments. Gene stating, well, finally, you're speaking more truth. Reference to President Trump gathering that was run amok with the help of paid rioters, which was shown on videos. Talking about my coverage earlier about this D.C. January 6th. Event, obviously, which I constantly said was not patriotic, and I've called those folks out. Gene, I don't know, I guess you missed part of those stories somewhere along the line. You're challenging, I didn't seem to mention the facts that some of these people had been seen taking part in other riots and destruction of other cities and towns, but they were not identified as MAGA people, which is the whole point of the January 6th Dog and Pony Show, as the National Police Association calls the hearing that Pelosi put together. Gene did add, a truly patriotic person nowadays has enemies even in the Supreme Court. Well, yeah, that's true. I agree with you. And adds, I fear your desire to be only patriotic is somehow tripped up by your desire to be a nice guy. I'm not a nice guy, Gene. If you ever listen to this country, you know I'm not. Listen, I learned long ago, and I think I mentioned it recently. I cannot make everybody happy, not even when I was being a news anchor, and no one knew my politics. In fact, I was often judged to be on the other side because I was in the business. That's fine. They should not know my politics as a news anchor. But now, yeah, I have this program. It's my program, and I speak my mind. I have conservative views. I have independent views. I do have some liberal views and the view of some far right. But that's just tough. Those are my views, and it's my program. But the bottom line is, I'm a nice guy. Except I'll admit to this. If sometimes people are playing poker. They get heads up, which is just one person against the other. And they always say, good luck to you. Yeah, good luck to you, too. I don't do that. I don't. I'm not going to say good luck to you. You're going to try and take my money? They say, what about karma? And I say, well, karma is a be-you-know-what anyway. I'm going to be honest. If I'm heads up with you, I'm not going to wish you good luck. So I guess to that extent, you're right, Gene. I'm not such a nice guy. So some censorship. Twitter today, or yesterday actually, suspending several accounts dedicated to the 2020 election audits, including a prominent one involving the Maricopa County audit in in Arizona. They just shut down their Twitter, claiming it violates the Twitter rules. They're still not explaining why, but because it's pointing out there were problems with the Maricopa County audit and how the voting went down. Oh, and the censorship continues, but it's at the control of the state-controlled media. Did you see, did any of you see the attack or any story at all on former Democrat California Senator Barbara Boxer being attacked by thieves, having her cell phone stolen while she was just walking in Oakland? CNN, NNN, and MSNBC failed to mention it, the breaking news during their primetime lineups. Never got around to it. When CNN, NNN finally broke its blackout on their morning new day program, they spent most of their coverage on the January 6th hearing. So here is a liberal woman assaulted in the streets while the liberals all continue calling out defund police, less police, and you never saw that story on their networks. Here's another one you're not going to really see. Ed Buck, wealthy political activist, leading Democrat Party donor, found guilty on charges injecting gay men with meth in exchange for sex, leading to overdoses and a couple deaths. The same Buck who had given money to Hillary Clinton, Gavin Newsom, Congressman Schiff, and so forth since 2000, convicted of four counts. You think you're going to see that on any of your CNN, NNN, or MSNBC? Do you think those stories are going to be up there? Do you think they're going to run any of them? Ed Buck, wealthy political activist, leading Democrat Party donor, 66 years of age, pleading not guilty, and still the jury took 4 hours after a two-week trial. And this verdict came 4 years after one of the victims was found dead of an overdose in his apartment. He would get vulnerable men to come to his home to use drugs and engage in sex play. And two of them died and two others hurt. He also gave a lot of money on a constant basis to every liberal cause and politicians like Clinton, Hillary, Newsom, Gavin Newsom. That's not going to be on your state-controlled media, more than likely, any more than coverage of Barbara Boxer. Coming up, the Simone Biles story. What is going on?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, as I mentioned in news and commentary earlier, the NBC primetime coverage of the Tokyo Olympics continued to go down the toilet over and over again. They had a 49% drop, 49% drop when you compare it to the equivalent night from the 2016 Rio Games. They averaged 14.7 million viewers. Also, the telecast dropped 53% of viewers from coverage of the first weeknight primetime during the 2012 Olympics. Declines even larger this time around. And then the demographics of the 18 to 49 watching, which are key, key moneymaker for the network on such a thing, they're not really there. Variety senior TV editor Brian Steinberg writing, the drop has spurred, quote, advertiser anxiety. Let me read between the lines for you. My God, we're spending all this money. We're not getting anything for it. That's advertiser anxiety. And, of course, it's not being helped by fan favorite Naomi Osaka being eliminated from the tennis medal competition. And then that's the thing that happened yesterday. Steinberg, again, the Variety senior TV editor, quoted a media buying exec who said early viewership, quote, clearly are not what NBC, our agency, or our clients were looking for from such a costly investment. And added early viewership trends were disappointing. And read between the lines there, advertisers are going to tell the NBC network, we want a lot of our money back. And NBC will say, well, can we just spread it out over the next 30 years and help you catch up? We want our money back. And the big drop that happened yesterday, and this is going to cause repercussions immensely in several different ways. Superstar USA, Simone Biles. Sometimes I've heard it, and I've looked at several different pronunciations, listened to it. Sometimes it's Biles, there's a Z instead of an S. Sometimes it's Biles and with an S sounding. So forgive me if I don't have it exactly right. I really did look at it different ways, but I think the consensus seems to be, they don't know. If you listen to different ones, you're going to hear it. Simone Biles. I'll go with that. She decided to abandon defense of her individual all-around Olympic crown. And a statement from USA Gymnastics confirmed it, saying the 24-year-old 2016 Olympic all-around gold medalist participation that she did in the four individual event final event starting on Sunday, also, of course, under evaluation, but the USAG said she's withdrawn from the final individual all-around competition in order to focus on her mental health. The statement coming because she had withdrawn from the team final. And in her words at that time, I had to focus on my mental health. I didn't want to go out and do something stupid and get hurt. At the end of the day, we don't want to be carried out of there on a stretcher. She is the star for the USA Olympic team. There's no doubt about it. Considered to be one of the greatest gymnasts of all time. And she told one of the NBC broadcasters that she's assessing things on a day-to-day basis prior to her making that decision. She said, physically, I feel good. I'm in shape. We're going to take it day by day. We're just going to see. But then she said, her mind's just not with it, not in it. Now, any of you out there who have played professional-type sports or high-level collegiate sports, or maybe an Olympian, or anything that requires not just your body being shaped, but your mental ability. And you got to be at the top of the game. You got to go in and know you're going to nail that leap from the platform or whatever you're doing. You can't go in with doubts and uncertainty. You can go in and maybe have a pulled muscle or some kind of concern about an injury that's already there. It might worsen or something of that nature, but you try to put that out and just perform and do the very best you can. Especially if you're representing your nation. There have been golfers. There was a book, it just came to mind. I wish I'd thought of it earlier. Basically written about being on the Ryder Cup, where you represent the USA against European golfers. And, of course, if you go to the esteemed author for Missouri, and which went through different names, of course, saying that golf is just a good walk ruined. And then you look at this book, and one of the golfers that was writing it was saying, suddenly I'm out there, and I realize I'm not just playing for myself, I'm playing for my nation. I mean, the impact upon me was just phenomenal. Really stressful. Well, that's what every Olympian is facing. Yeah, they want it for their own glory and future endorsements and everything, but They prepared to compete at that level to get a gold medal for themselves and their nation. So I got this letter today from Boots on the Ground reporter, correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. And you know, he sends me a lot of stuff, and Andrew knows I appreciate it. But I opened it up, and I thought, I don't quite, where are we going with this? I sitting there looking at it, I thought, it raises a good question. Oh, you know, it just dawned on me. I was talking a moment ago about the esteemed writer for Missouri, known by a couple of different names. You know him probably best as Mark Twain, is saying that golf is a good walk ruin. When I was trying to relate that story, but this deal about Simone Biles withdrawing, Andrew's letter begins like this. Should I say what I really think? I realize she's one of the most untouchable personalities in the world, but as your big moment approaches, if you miss it after a lifetime of preparation, isn't that bad? Demographically, she can do no wrong. No member of the state-controlled media, Andrew's picked up on my language, is going to call her out even if she were to, having an accident on the balance beam in the sense of body waste. He goes on to say, I love Simone. She's transformed the sport. I've never seen a more amazing gymnast. He said, I believe she has four maneuvers named after her since they were never performed before. But in the real world, is this called a bit of a failure? She's the face of the Olympics in the U.S., if not the world. Sacred cows are not to be criticized. I know. My apologies. So I wrote back quickly. I said, I haven't done any stories on her or the Olympics. I really had no understanding of why she's withdrawing, if it's, quote, a mental focus. Is it because she truly believes that for some reason she's lost her confidence? Is she getting played? Are we getting played? Close as I could come up to understanding as a kid on the football teams, constantly telling the coach, give me the ball, give me the ball, coach, give me the ball, give me the ball. The coach finally says, give him the ball. And he gets pounded every time he gets the ball. Then he tells the coach, I don't want the ball anymore. That makes sense? For some, it would. And I added, at least she isn't defying, denigrating our nation, flag, national anthem. Or is she? I don't think so. I don't think so. And in fact, later Andrew sent word back saying, you know, I'm kind of reevaluating some of my thoughts on it. And I had sent him this piece from Breitbart, written by columnist Dylan Gwynn. Says, let's get a few things out of the way here right off the bat. An athlete's number one responsibility is to ensure they are mentally and physically prepared to perform on the day of competition. Said they need to be ready when it's time to compete. Hiding behind stress and mental health is a big-time weak sauce, and everyone who uses that excuse, unless they have a clinically diagnosed condition, should immediately do us all a favor and stop it forever. That being said, nothing that follows these words is meant to excuse Simone for withdrawing in the middle of the competition, not upholding her solemn obligation to herself, her teammates, or her country to be at her best. So that's why he was looking at it. And he said it's very tempting to conclude that her dereliction of duty and being a lame emotional stress excuse makes her a quitter, a bad teammate, so forth. But also acknowledging that facts are that maybe she did the team a good thing by getting out of the way if she's not going to be performing at her best. In fact, he concludes that sometimes you can help your team the most by stepping aside. So instead of inflicting more damage to her teammates and their Olympic hopes, she stepped aside. It doesn't absolve her of obvious mistakes and make everything right, but she's no villain. I think that's well stated. You know that, I mean, you're watching. You yourself, when you've watched her or Mary Lou Retton or any of our gymnasts performing a maneuver or a dive or anything else they're doing, you're something that captivates you for that very moment. It's got to be just precise. And, they moved their hand a bit. That could cost some points. You're stressed out. You're not the one doing it. And they're on stage to do their very best at that moment. Now, hopefully they're well prepared. And if his head's not in it, I don't know. That's probably a valid excuse. We're going to do more on this tomorrow. I'm going to have Dr. Rick Lehman join us. He's treated and dealt with Olympic athletes and others. Coming up, George Foreman talking about the Olympics and any displays of politics.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm ready, sir.
That is, of course,
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yes, it is. It's Larry Connors USA and ZZ Top. That's my bad. Quentin had it all set up nice, and then I stepped on it. But the reason I kind of threw him a curve here at the last minute. Word has just come down that longtime ZZ Top bass player Dusty Hill, dead at age 72. That's why we want to play a little bit of that ZZ Top. Dusty Hill, ZZ Top member, dead at age 72. Some great music. So George Foreman, legendary boxer, obviously, as you well know. And when I say legendary, I mean also known as Big George, which is understandable, and got every child, every boy child named George after him. But George Foreman, two-time world champ, did win the gold medal in the heavyweight division in 1968 Olympics. He was on Sean Hannity's program last night and talking about the Olympics and how it's being viewed around the world and partly how the U.S. is being viewed at the same time and the value of the Olympics for our nation and also for those competing. And, of course, how sometimes there's an effort to try to, well, basically to make it more than just a sport. And I read you the numbers a moment ago about how NBC numbers are way, way down. And they do have advertiser anxiety, as they say. They're not getting their dollars worth. So George Foreman, when asked about what do you think about the plummeting ratings,
we're going to continue to watch them because just think of the amount of athletes who are going to the Olympics this year and the percentage of those who will be demonstrating. It's not that high. We can tolerate. Sometimes with prosperity comes this little naughtiness. We got to be able to shake it away. Yeah. Sometimes listen to what they say. Let them know that we hear them. But at the same time, let them know you're not going to destroy this because it was the average mom in these suburbans who took them to the soccer fields and the basketball practice and who signed those little permissions that we could play these games. They're not going to drop us, and we're not going to drop them. We just need to have a better demonstration and information about patriotism.
That's what he was leading up to. But he is right, and he's acknowledging, yeah, that some of the stuff that's been going on infiltrating sports has turned a lot of people away from sports, even the Olympics. And not our USA gymnastic team, nothing that I've seen there, but, of course, the U.S. women's soccer team. When you've got one of the leaders constantly taking a knee when our national anthem is playing, and yet other ladies participating are standing there with their hand over their heart, including one of the black soccer players standing there with her hand over her heart. You have the freedom to do so, of course, in this nation, and they carry that freedom with them even while representing our nation. But I do have an issue with that. If you're representing our nation, can you put that stuff aside and just be a representative of this nation? Is there another nation that's going to give you the opportunity? As you just heard George Foreman say, I mean, that all those that have been helping you get along the way get to that point. And he summed it up very quickly about having politics interfere, involved, and constantly in your face when you just wanted to watch a sporting event.
It shouldn't be in sports. Should take it out. Let us go over there and have a good time and stay out of politics because it's a dangerous thing.
Absolutely. The NFL has seen that. NBA numbers are down because of that. Major League Baseball ratings are down because of that. And there are many inside each of those sports that do love this country. And regardless of their color, they love it and they support it, but they're kind of being put in a vice and having to make decisions. And some colleagues, other members of the team will agree with them. Others might disagree with them. And the sports franchises themselves are being extorted, basically. If you don't put it up, we're going to come after you. I mean, that's why MLB moved out of the All-Star game out of Atlanta to Denver. And it hurt the city of Denver. The city of Atlanta hurt a lot of people in Atlanta. But politics is being used, of course, from time to time anyway. And here's one that is very interesting. He's an Iranian defector, a judo competitor. He got a silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics. He left the Iranian team because he refused at one time to forfeit a match against an Israeli in 2019. So he got refugee status by Germany when he forced to flee Iran because he wouldn't do what they told him to. He's since become great friends with that Israeli contender, got his citizenship in Mongolia, flew to Tel Aviv earlier this year for competition. Iran is under a 4-year ban against participating in judo tournaments because it won't let its players go against Israeli competitors. Well, this guy, Iranian defector, won a silver medal, and you know what he did? He dedicated it to Israel. An Iranian defector dedicating his medal to Israel and thanking the Jewish state for the good energy and said it's just dedicated to Israel. And I hope the Israelis are happy with my win. Remember, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.